Well, good evening, friends. If you'll turn on the page 7 of our service sheets, you'll see an outline of the sermon. Actually, 5 sermons you're getting tonight at the price of one, but it won't be 5 times longer. That is, I've been asked the question, is there such a thing as unanswered prayer? And that is what I'm going to be addressing. Is there such a thing as unanswered prayer? And the answer to the question is very obvious and simple. Yes, no, and wait. That's the answer God gives. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait. That doesn't really help you much with the question that is asked. But it's important to remember that when we pray to God, God is not our servant. We don't order God around. We don't tell God what to do. God is our God. We ask him. We put the matter in his care. We're saying, I can't deal with this. This is beyond me. Please, can you deal with it? And it's greater than what we can do, and his answers will be greater than we may have even thought. Why yes, no, wait doesn't really help us all that much is because the question really is, does God ever say no? Does God refuse to answer our prayers? And I'd commend to you that, again, we're asking God to do what we can't. See, a woman spoke to me just the other week here. She had a part-time job, 3 days a week, and it wasn't paying enough to keep her alive. So she was praying that God would give her a full-time job. She prayed and prayed, and she didn't get a full-time job. And money was getting tighter and harder and more difficult for her. Then, in an application for a full-time job, she was told there wasn't a full-time job available where she was applying, but there was a 2-day-a-week part-time job. And in that 2-day-a-week part-time job, actually it wasn't 2 days a week. They'd pay her for 2 days, but one day was only a half day. And the half day that they were giving her, the Thursday they were giving her as the part-time, was actually the day which she needed to have half day off, because she's got an elderly mother and she went to visit her every Thursday afternoon. And so the job she now has is 3 days a week at one place where she already was happy, and 1.5 days on exactly the day she needed to continue to look after her mother. For weeks she'd been complaining that God hadn't been giving her the full-time job, because God had in mind for her a better thing than she was asking for. It fitted her lifestyle much more than she'd even imagined. It hadn't crossed her mind to pray for a 2-day-a-week part-time job that would give her a Thursday afternoon off to look after her mother. That was beyond her thinking of the possibilities of asking for, and yet God knows what we need before we ask. He is God. He is not our servant. Now, I want you to be looking up the Bible tonight, and first of all, the passage that we've just had read from us from Deuteronomy. If you turn to page 178, I think that's the page number in most our church Bibles here, 178, Moses speaking to the children of Israel just before they enter the promised land. God has rescued them out of Egypt. Who's ever heard of a bunch of slaves being rescued by their God? Out of the most powerful nation in all the world, the Egyptians, this bunch of slaves were rescued miraculously by God. And not only had they been rescued out of Egypt, but they'd been taken across the desert for 40 years. They'd wandered in the wilderness. And during those 40 years, God had fed them. God had given them drink to drink. God had healed them of some diseases that they'd had as well. God had looked after them all the way. Now they're going into the promised land. And when they went there, living by God's laws, notice what is said there. It comes for us in verse 7. The other nations are going to say, the other peoples are going to say, what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? The idols didn't answer the prayers of people. the gods, the Baals of the Canaanites, didn't answer the prayers of people. The god Moloch, he required you to offer up your son as a sacrifice to get anything out of him. But the God of Israel listens to the prayers of his people. No other nation had a God like the God of Israel, who listens to the prayers of his people. But these are the people who are going to live according to his law. What if we don't live according to his law? Turn with me to Psalm 66. Psalm 66, it's page 577. Psalm 66, page 577, because we're looking at verse 16. It's a great psalm, thanking God for answering prayer. And he says in verse 16, "Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened to me. But truly, God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer." Yes, you see, the God of Israel listens to his people. He does attend to their prayers. But do you see what's said there in verse 18? "If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." Now, God does not always give us what we ask for and does not always listen to what we pray for we can ask wrongly out of our sinfulness, and he will not give us what we ask for if it is sinful. Let me show it to you in the New Testament. Come with me, third sermon, James, or fourth James, chapter 4. Where are we up to on this one? Page 1217. 1217. 1217, James chapter 4. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? James 4 verse 2, "You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." It's a very important little passage about prayer. You do not have because you do not ask. That shows that prayer actually makes a difference, doesn't it? Why did you receive healing? Because you asked for it. Why didn't you receive healing? Well, did you ask for it? You didn't ask for it, then why would you expect to get something that you didn't ask for? The question of whether you receive or not is determined to some extent on whether you ask. Pray. Ask for these things. Ask of God, for God listens to his people. But it also says, when you did ask, you didn't receive. So sometimes God hears what people say but doesn't give them what. And why? Well, you're told here, because you ask wrongly, verse 3, to spend it on your passions, you adulterous people. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. You can't, well, you can ask God for things which are really self-centered sinfulness. But you must never expect God to give you what you've asked for if it's self-centered sinfulness. That cannot be the case. If a child asks for bread, will his father give him a stone? If a child asks for a fish, will his father give him a serpent? No, says Jesus. God knows how to give good gifts to those who ask. Just like a father, even more so. But what if the child asks for the serpent? What if the child asks for a stone? God is not going to give the child what is bad for the child. God will say no to prayers when we ask for those things which are of no benefit to us and no glory to him. And here is the problem in James, you see. They covet each other's possessions, and so they ask God that they might have it. But coveting is sinful. Why should I have your possessions because I've coveted them and asked God for them? If they're yours, they've been given to you by God, and I shouldn't be coveting them. And I certainly shouldn't be asking God to give them to me. That is a self-centered, cherishing sin in my heart, isn't it? God will not listen to those prayers. So, of course, God says no sometimes, just as he says yes. But sometimes his yes is bigger and better than we ever imagined. Like the friend who spoke to me the other day about her job. Look to our last passage, Ephesians, the one again that was read for us a few moments ago. Ephesians chapter 3, page 1176. 1176. And what a wonderful part it finishes with. It's a great climax to the argument of the first three chapters of Ephesians, a great turning point in the whole book, really. This wonderful climax. Now, verse 20. To him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Don't let the fact that God says no stop you from asking. Because the God to whom we ask when we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God who has poured his Spirit into our lives in the Lord Jesus Christ, the God who is at work in us and amongst his people to make us more and more like Christ Jesus and to live to his praise and glory, that God welcomes our prayers, wants our prayers, and that God is able to do more than we ever ask. In fact, he's able to do more than we ever think of asking. We do not have because we do not ask. And when we ask, we do not ask for the things that he is able to do far more abundantly than anything we've thought of. He is able to do far more abundantly than anything we've even thought of. He is able to do. If ever there's an encouragement to prayer, what an encouragement verse 20 is. The God to whom we speak is the God who is able to rescue the slaves out of Egypt, keep them alive in the wilderness for 40 years, take them into the promised land and conquer the land before them. That is the God we are speaking to, the God who listens to the prayers of his people, who is like no other of the false gods of this world. He is right with us. In fact, at work within us. That God who is so close to listen to us is the God who is able to do far more abundantly than anything we even think, let alone ask. Take friends. Friends, take courage. Take bold courage to ask great things from a great God who is able to hear. But do not ask for sinfulness. He will never say yes to that. Do not cherish iniquity in your heart. He will never listen to that. Do not ask to spend on your own passions. He will never answer for that. But ask for his glory and for your need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you that you are so great, that you hear our prayers, and that you're able to do far more exceedingly and abundantly than anything we've thought of praying to you. We thank you that you are the Father who loves and the Almighty Creator who rules over all. We thank you for your work in our lives, changing us, transforming us, moving us, that we might ask for those things that reflect your mind and character, rather than the things which show our enmity with you because of our passionate love of this world. Take from us, Father, that sin that we cherish, so that we may indeed speak to you as our Father, knowing that you are listening to us and are able to do more for us than we've even thought of asking. Give to us that courage, that boldness, to have confidence in you for all things we ask. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.